You know what, Dan? I still hate traffic.
Yeah.
But I do miss the networking and the meetings.
Oh, I agree. I really miss the networking, the meetings, and also the events. We're kind of doing the things we need to do all online with Zoom meetings now, and they're working out for us. But one thing that's really missing is those unexpected serendipitous moments where you run into somebody that you didn't expect to meet, and one relationship kind of leads to another, and it leads to something great.
Yeah, totally. It's an interesting comment because it makes me think how we started out when we really didn't know anybody. So I met Masuda-san, who's our project director. He came out from Japan in 2016 at the LA Auto Show. 3 months later, I was in the Bay Area from Michigan, kind of starting the mobility division of Koido. And after that, Tico came out, who's also a member of our team in 2017 in April, I believe. And then followed by yourself, you came out here in 2018.
Right.
And, you know, we really didn't know anybody. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah. I remember those days. And I think it can be really tough just starting out with a new team and not having those connections. So what did you do? How do you build a network in Silicon Valley?
Well, that's a good question, Dan. Welcome to Mobility Now, the podcast that looks at mobility technology sitting at the edge of today, but the center of tomorrow. I'm your host, Amit Mehta, head of innovation at Silicon Valley Lab.
And I'm your co-host, Dan Davies, innovation manager at Silicon Valley Lab. We are an advanced research division of North American Lighting and a subsidiary of Koito Group. That's the world's largest tier one supplier of exterior automotive lighting. So I'm really excited about our guest today. He's someone that I think is really the glue of innovation between startups, corporates, and VCs. And it's because of this wide and diverse network that he's built up. I remember meeting him for the first time at a networking event that he hosted at his beautiful home in Woodside. And what was so impressive about the event was not just the beautiful property and the number of people, there were hundreds of people there, but there were people from all different roles, from all different industries. I met people in travel, banking, insurance. There were people in communications and in different roles, engineers, sales managers, startup founders, venture capitalists. And it was a whole representation of the entire startup ecosystem in Silicon Valley. And I think it was really a great experience. I think few people have the reach and the network to put together such a mix of different people like that. But one of them is our guest today. He is the CEO of Plug and Play, Saeed Amidi. How are you doing, Saeed?
Great. It's a pleasure joining you. And I am looking forward to talking with you and sharing some of the experiences we have had together and with other corporate partners.
It's really great to have you on the show.
Yep, thank you for being here.
So I'd like to start out with your journey. You have a very interesting story of how you got to where you are today. I wonder if you could share that with us.
Of course, but also let me refer to what you mentioned, one of the gathering at my house. You know, I believe, you know, we try to have the expo of several different vertical, may it be mobility and IoT, or for example, insurance and fintech, around the same sequence of days. And then when people travel all the way to California to attend our mobility expo, they might stay an extra day or two and attend our property and casualty insurance expo, which happens to be very relevant to mobility these days, especially with autonomous cars and connected cars. But let me go back to tell you how I started in California on University Avenue. You know, like any other entrepreneur, I started my company I believe it was 1980, and it was primarily a plastic packaging company. I call it my day job these days, but I started, distribution of polyethylene and polypropylene and different plastic products, representing major companies like Exxon, Mobil, and even BASF and Dow in the old days. And through that packaging business, I got into bottled water business, which, we still are quite active in it. And that is in the 5-gallon bottled water, what we call environmentally friendly packaging, because we reuse the package 50 times and then we recycle the polycarbonate.
Wow.
But great. If I can share with you, when I told people I am in this business in Palo Alto on University Avenue, people almost didn't believe me. Everybody thought that we should be in a technology business. And I remember one of my neighbor offices was Pierluigi Zappacosta bringing Logitech from Switzerland to Palo Alto and making it grow to a publicly traded company. And then after I made some money and purchased the building, one of our first tenants was PayPal, Peter Thiel. And we were able to invest in his company. And we had other really, really exciting tenants like Google, rented space from us when they were 2 to 3 people, Larry, Sergey, and I believe Salar. But they stayed with us for about 2 years, reaching 50 people. And because of this location I was in, I had a front seat to see so many of these exciting technology companies raise money, build their product, and really change the world. And I didn't want to, lose the opportunity. So in fact, we started investing in startups as an angel about 25 years ago. I remember one of the interesting investments we did was the first smartphone called Sidekick. The company name was Danger. And I don't know if you guys know Andy Rubin, but Andy Rubin started Danger and Sidekick and, had challenges growing the company, but finally sold it to Microsoft for $500 million and then started Android, and which you must be familiar with. And then Google actually invited him to build Android inside Google. So the story of me getting to know these entrepreneurs and investing in some of them was beginning of Plug and Play. And I think it was 2006, I purchased the Philips Electronics headquarter in Sunnyvale. And I said, if I put a lot of startups in this building, it will give me a chance to get to know them. And it gives me a better opportunity to invest in the best ones. And, at any given time, we have about 400 startups in the building. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, the startups, of course, are great in building product and technology, but more than money, what they need is collaboration and clients, which happens to be this corporate ecosystem which you refer to. So we started with a couple of corporate partners. I remember the first corporate partner I had was actually Citibank and Volkswagen, who asked us, can we introduce to them startups of their interest? And then from there on, this whole, what I call now plug and play innovation platform got started and built, you know, initially in Silicon Valley and then perhaps all around the world. I will pause here to see what questions you would like me to answer.
That is wonderful. I love the story of how you started off with wanting to get to know the startups yourself and then realizing that that's something that corporates would also be interested in doing. And then so you invited your corporate partners to come in and have the startups and the corporate partners mingle. So I think it's a valuable place for startups, corporate partners, and venture capitalists. So was there any moment during this journey that kind of made you stop and think, hey, this plug and play idea is something that the world needs and the world can benefit from? Or would you say it's more sort of this gradual development into what it is now?
You know, I wish I could say I had a, you know, master plan from the beginning, but I didn't. You know, in fact, I initially called the plug and play real estate, you know, because in the early 80s, I started a .com company and raised $1 million seed round. And wow. Then when I wanted to start the product development, it was actually coming from my plastic packaging business, but I just called it, like I remember, plastic.com. But it took us about 6 months to find the right office space, to buy servers, to furnish the office. And it was like a very, very challenging and a big headache. So when I opened Plug and Play Real Estate, my message was, if you are a startup, if you're 2 to 3, 4 people, you could walk in the building and you could start developing your product the same day. In fact, I also built a data center. Now, with all of these clouds, people do not buy servers. But when in 2006, there was no Amazon Web Services, so people had to actually build their own, you know, system, buy servers before they could start coding. So initially I just wanted to make the startup's life simpler. And it started with real estate, then data center. Then I remember, like, on Mondays, I used to invite law firms, Silicon Valley Bank, accounting firms. So pretty much a startup could get set up with everything within 1 week, even register their company through one of our law firm partners like Cooley or Wilson Sonsini. as I said, I wish I had like all of these thoughts from the beginning, but everything kind of developed. And the most important pivot, you could say, Plug and Play have had is this corporate innovation and corporate digital transformation journey. And now, as you may know, we are like in mobility operating all around the world. And I can tell you more about it, if you like, in how we were invited to go to Stuttgart or what we are now doing in Japan and China, for example.
Yeah, that's an amazing story, because what you did is you removed the friction that's required for a startup to go from where they are and meet with the corporations and kind of develop the products that are necessary to move us past what we would say is the next decade of inflection. That would be the rest of our mobility lives over the next 20 to 30 years as we move into the mobility era. So one of the questions I have, you have many different verticals, and I'd like to hear which vertical you started with and how you got to mobility, because I feel like you picked to start the mobility vertical at the perfect time. I'd like to understand how that came to be.
Yes. You know, the first vertical we started was brand and retail, and specifically advertising. You know, because with the Google and Facebook, you know, becoming the biggest advertising platforms in the world, all the retailer and brands wanted to navigate where they should invest their advertising dollars to have the best results. So, it just happened to us that that's where we started. And then other industries, like as I mentioned, Volkswagen or Mercedes, and you know, even Toyota Financial Services came to us. And specifically in automotive industry, the technology was moving so fast that even though Mercedes has 70,000 engineers and great R&D department, they mentioned to us that the industry is moving so fast that they need to look outward to find the best technology and combine it with their product and services. And I recall one time we had a very important delegation from Germany. You know, we've been working with Mercedes lab in Sunnyvale, which is like 350 people, and they've been here for 20 years. But the lab mentioned to us that there is a very important group of people coming from Germany, and they would like to see like the best three startup in the automotive industry. And, you know, it was, we usually have a lot of visitors, but this particular time our connection or our champion at Mercedes was very nervous. And we actually did much, much more work than we normally do introducing the three startups to this group. By the time I met the group, I realized that they are the seven executive board member of Mercedes, including the CEO, and they run Mercedes. And it was really funny because after we introduced them to three startups, they decided to invest in all the three. And then they pulled me aside and they said, Saeed, can you please build one of these innovation platforms in Stuttgart? And it was, I told them I never been to Stuttgart. So, but I said, you know, we will evaluate the idea, and it was very interesting. I don't know if, you know, if you've been hosted by a big automotive company. It's very interesting, the car they send you to pick you up. And, you know, they really treated me well in Stuttgart, and it resulted in us building a platform in Stuttgart, which I would consider right now the best mobility platform in the world, with Mercedes, Porsche, Volkswagen. We have approximately 10 tier one suppliers like Bosch, ZF, Hella, to name a few. And, you know, they all collaborate together on the same innovation platform to work with startups in different technology focus areas. And right now in Stuttgart, we bring in about 100 startups per year that work from, you know, with our corporate partners. And the startups are all from Israel, Canada, US, and all around the world. And that platform has been so successful that, you know, some of our Japanese corporate partner asked us to set up a similar platform in Japan. And, you know, SAIC, one of the largest automotive companies in the world from Shanghai, asked us, can we set up similar platform in Shanghai? And right now we are in discussion to set up exactly the same setup in Paris. And I, you know, then finally I realized, my God, I am not in Detroit. And if you like, I can tell you a little bit about Detroit.
Yeah, I think so. Being Dan and I, being the foot soldiers of Plug and Play, we've been able to experience what you've planted. And it's quite amazing to have so many people from so many different companies work together in the same area. But that being said, you're now going to Detroit, and we've worked in Detroit too. And Detroit is traditionally a closed, siloed environment with not a big focus on open innovation. And it's also focused on being mostly in the office. How did you make the decision to open an office there? And especially during this pandemic, knowing that how innovation actually works in Detroit. Mm-hmm.
You know, it is very interesting because, you know, we usually like, not only for ourselves, but for our startups, we need to have a buy-in from a major OEM to be able to attract the best quality startups. And, you know, specifically in Germany, we started with Mercedes. And even though I worked some with Ford, especially when Mark Field was the CEO and came to California, Palo Alto, and opened up a very big lab here, we really didn't have a strong sponsor other than working with Ford and Ford Lab. But this year, like exactly 1 year ago, Fiat Chrysler asked us, because they had experience with us in Silicon Valley, they really wanted us to be closer to their headquarter and closer to their, you know, manufacturing facilities and different business units. So the trigger was, I always wanted to extend our mobility platform, as you called it, open innovation in US and in Detroit. But we needed to have at least one of the three large OEM commit to work with us and our startups. And that happened in the middle of in the early months of 2020. And, you know, again, as you put it, we have not been able to execute as good as we wanted to, because traveling and having events has been difficult. I mean, we have it on Zoom. You know, in fact, today, by coincidence, we had an event in Detroit, and the first part of the event was Stuttgart comes to Detroit, and we represented about 5 case studies of success from Stuttgart. Then we had number of our corporate partners and startups present in Detroit, sort of combining both what we do in Europe and in US. But we are really, really excited to implement what we've been able to do in different parts of the world in Detroit as soon as we can travel, and our entrepreneurs and our corporate partners can get all together in a physical space.
Great, thank you. I appreciate that, because Dan and I are big advocates for plug and play, because we appreciate what you're doing. You're breaking down the barriers of innovation. It's easier in Silicon Valley, but it's very difficult in Detroit. And the fact that you're even trying to do that shows a lot to your success. So we really appreciate that. One of the earlier things you've mentioned was you started plug and play with the real estate, and you wanted to make small little seed investments into different companies to support them as they were very small. So we know that plug and play is not only a startup accelerator, but also makes these investments in startups with a large number of successful exits. Can you talk a little bit about these exits? And also, what are the three criteria that you and the team decide on how to invest in these startups?
Yes, you know, in fact, when we discussed that we provided real estate for startups and then data center and then, you know, other services, it gets a little confusing. But I would say number one goal and objective is to help the entrepreneur have a faster, more successful journey. And, you know, part of this journey is, of course, funding. And we initially invested in about 20 companies per year, but as plug and play platform grow, and now we do about 200 investments per year.
Wow.
And you know, like each vertical, when it's really performing well, we may have like in the automotive industry 40, 50 corporate partners, and we put through the program over 100 startups per year. And then we try to choose the best 20 to invest in. You know, and again, if we go back to our initial investments, we were very lucky to invest in Dropbox when it was 2 people. We invested in Lending Club when it was 2 people. And more recently, this year, past 12 months, we had number of unicorns like Big ID, which is an AI company, or Customer, which Facebook purchased for $1.2 billion. So, you know, as you mentioned, I believe now we are up to 12 unicorns in our portfolio company. Amazing. And, you know, it's always good to be smart, but it's also good to be lucky. And the second part of your question, you know, we believe the biggest decision, most important part of our decision is the team. You know, the team has to be incredibly passionate, knowledgeable about what they are trying to do, and, you know, have enough education and technology to build what they want to build. So the team, and we like both engineering team members as well as business team members. We feel you need to have at least two or three great founding team members. Then we help actually our startups to define a big problem that they can solve. So you have to go after a real world problem and say that if we can solve this, people are willing to pay for it. And, you know, so I think the team is very important. The size of the market or the problem that they would like to solve has to be big, and so you can build the company around it. And then finally, the passion and the hard work, because it is not an easy journey when you start a company. So you need to have, you know, incredible passion and be willing to work 80 hours a week to be successful.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Sounds like quite a lot goes into building a successful startup, but I like the comment that you have about it starting with the team, the people. That's really the beginning of all of the companies that you've seen grow through Plug and Play. Really impressive numbers too. You mentioned 12 unicorns. Congratulations on that. That is amazing. And 200 investments a year. That's one every business day, I was thinking. That's quite amazing.
Yes. Yes, you're right. But it is a little bit different, because let's say in China, we do about 30 investments per year. Mm-hmm. And in Germany and France and Italy, we may do another 30. But still majority of our investments are in US. That is maybe another 100 plus investment in US. And, you know, we do also invest in Singapore and Indonesia as well. So combined all around the world, it comes to about 200 in new investments per year.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. All across the world. And what surprised you the most about Plug and Play's success?
You know, the collaboration, and when you connect, as you mentioned, great entrepreneurs, startups, you know, we work with over 40 universities, especially with their entrepreneurship clubs and their innovation platform. When you connect all of these, universities, entrepreneurs with money that is available from venture capitalists and angels, and then you add this corporate partners who are really eager to, you know, use these technologies, mm-hmm. some magic happens. You know, and again, if I have something to say, I really miss that when these people physically are together and they talk about different solutions, and magic is when you connect all of these, you know, different corporation, entrepreneurs, mentors, in angel investors all together. And that's what is very exciting about my job these days.
Well, thank you.
Great.
Before I get to the last question, we know you're an avid golfer and the travel is going to start happening again. Can you recommend to everybody that's going to travel to the Bay Area at some point soon, what are a couple of the best golf clubs to visit when coming to the Bay?
Yeah. You know, I thank God I could play golf during this past year, except I think it was only 1.5 months that the golf courses were also closed. But last week I played in Spyglass, which is part of the Pebble Beach Golf Group. And in fact, I like Spyglass better than Pebble Beach. Oh. So those are some of the two best golf experiences you could have in the world. But for the audience, if you guys come to see us in Northern California, I will take you to my club also, which is a nice golf course, is the Sharon Heights Country Club, right by Stanford University.
Wow, thank you.
Sounds beautiful.
It does. So for the final question, do you have any advice for new grads coming into the mobility space, specifically those wanting to get into the entrepreneurial world like you've established?
I say, I've been involved as a entrepreneur myself, opening a company 40 years ago. And, you know, recently with Plug and Play, I come across a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, people who want to build their company and their dream. I say there has not been a better time that I have seen in the world compared to now, you know, because there is many organizations like Plug and Play that you could visit, you could meet other entrepreneurs, you could study their journey like as a case study. And if I had like one recommendation for the new graduates is you should try to meet, 10 exciting startups or entrepreneurs who have gone through the journey that you would like to go through. And, you know, by doing that, it's gives you a great experience in what to do, and more importantly, what not to do, in my opinion. And again, I think it's the best time ever to be part of a team to start a company, especially, you know, if it is technology company.
That's great advice. Very different from the last few podcasts we've had. And I think that some of the experiences will really help anybody listening to this podcast. Saeed, we really appreciate your time today. I know you have a very busy schedule, and I think this is very beneficial for a lot of our audience and guest members. So I want to thank you.
My pleasure. And you guys are doing a great job with this podcast. And I very much look forward to listening to some other great speakers, if you could send me the link to the podcast.
Thank you. We will definitely do that. Great. Please join us next time, where we'll have serial entrepreneur and podcast host Torsten Jacoby as our guest. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Saeed.